Well, tonight we begin to look at a part of the spiritual warfare that involves the Babylonian system and the warfare against Christ. Before I begin the substance of the message of Babylon versus Christ in the first part of it, it probably will involve a couple of parts because it's a rather comprehensive thing that I have studied over the years, but this morning and this afternoon, I spent a number of hours today in prayer and also in the Word, and God was speaking to me and putting some things together that I hadn't put fully together and so ever before. And so I want to share with you, and I have to share a little bit of background before I get into the substance of this teaching, because you need to know something about what most Christians don't know anything about, and it's not taught much. When God created the world, He wrote in the 12 constellations, there were 12 signs in the constellations, not present-day astrology. But he wrote the scripture was written in the skies before he revealed it through the Holy Spirit for the people to write it, in what we call our Bible. And, in those stars, he was announcing, that Jesus would be born on the earth first. That was the first sign, Virgo the Virgin. And, that he would come on the earth and that he would be, a revealer of seven major things about who the Father is and who the Son is and who the Holy Spirit is. In other words, a revelation in the skies of God and a revelation of the opposition of Satan who fell, Lucifer, the light bringer. We talked about that in one teaching, how Satan fell. And so here Jesus is born of a virgin and the gospel in the stars reveals Jesus as the Creator, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, reveals Jesus as the substance of the entire creation, not just creating it, but holding it together. The substance that is not seen, the material world is held together by Jesus, who is the substance of that creation, and we'll see our faith is based on that. Jesus, who is the Messiah, the Savior, who brings total salvation to our spirits, to our souls, to our bodies. Christianity is the only faith that says that our spirits and our souls and our bodies will be one day redeemed. And so He brings, as a Savior, a total salvation. He is also crowned already as the Lord, the ruler of the entire universe. He is crowned as the high priest, the one who has access to God eternally, and who had access to God before he was ever sent down on the earth. He is the mediator, the one who is at the right hand of the Father, comes down on the earth, goes back after his crucifixion and resurrection to the right hand of the Father to continue to be an eternal mediator for us on the earth and in heaven for us here. He is the Word, the living Word. He is the life. He is the light. In the creation, before the sun was created, He was the light. There was light. And by the way, when we go back into heaven, heaven will be lighted by His light and His life. There'll be no need of the stars. Jesus is also revealed as the only truth. He is the absolute truth. And truth is what always sets free. And so Jesus came with the truth of full salvation to set the captives free. Why were there captives? Only because Lucifer fell, rebelling, separating himself from God, and then he tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell. And they separated from God. And so there was sin and separation and death and darkness and disease. And so Jesus was sent in order to set us free Finally, the stars reveal, and the stars reveal all these things that I've just mentioned. They're revealed in this scripture. But the stars reveal the constellations was a spoken word, the written word in the constellations in the heavens. They were the written word to all men. And then he is the coming king. And that king who defeats Satan. Because the last sign is Leo the lion. He comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah to defeat Satan totally. And Satan will be bound. And he will be cast eventually after the final rebellion into the lake of fire. And hell will be cast into the lake of fire.
Amen.
And there will be a second death. And all who follow him and who are separated from God the Father through Jesus, all who are separated and with the Satan, will be cast into the lake of fire with him. Now, I gave you that summary because, and I should say something else too. In history, there are seven great kingdoms. The number seven, if you noticed, I had seven characteristics. Now we're going to be looking, we may be able to look at two or three or four, I'm not sure how many we'll get through tonight. Eventually we'll get through seven. Because seven is number for perfection and completion. And there are seven major kingdoms in the world's history. We know that this is true. Seven major world kingdoms. World empires. That control the entire known earth. And we know what they are from the book of Revelation and from the scriptures. And God spoke this to me a number of years ago as I read Revelation 17. Nimrod led the first rebellion at the Tower of Babel. And that became the religious center of an eight-nation empire, eight cities built by Nimrod into one Babylonian empire, which became the first rebellion against God. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us something else, which I will be talking about tonight. The most important religious spirit, and by the way, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It is a living relationship with the God, the Father. The person of God the Father, of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. Christianity is not a religion. Religions are ways created by men. I will talk more about this in a moment. They are created by men. And they were created right at the Tower of Babel, at the original Babylonian faith, that empire. And that empire was concentrated against God. And concentrated especially against Jesus. Why? Because the stars revealed that he would be born on the earth. He would come down on the earth. See, Satan had already been cast out of heaven. There was war in heaven. We looked at that earlier. In Revelation 12, there was war in heaven, and Satan had been cast out down on the earth. Now, he has access to the air, but he doesn't have access to the holy throne of God as he used to have. He was a holy angel over the divine throne of God in the Garden of Eden. But he was cast down. And so, as he is cast down, then there is warfare brought on the earth. And Babylon, the system of Babylon that we're going to look at the seven characteristics of this Babylonian system, not tonight, we're not going to look at all of them tonight, but we're going to look also at what the scriptures say about who Jesus is, because... And here's what the Lord was saying to me today as I was praying. He's saying, son, the Babylonian system is already being firmly established. It's already being firmly established all over the world. It isn't just something that's in the future. Now, it isn't fully established because there is still a move of the Holy Spirit. And there will be a continuing move of the Holy Spirit, but right before Jesus comes, there will be a temporary time, a short period of time, when, as Paul says, there will be a removal of the Holy Spirit as a restrainer of evil on the earth. And so this evil system is already being established. In fact, as we look at these things, the ones I will look at tonight, I think you will begin to recognize But these things are already established in the United States of America. Now, they do not have firm and total control yet. But what is the key to this Babylonian system? In Revelation, there is a reference to the harlot. The harlot is a representative of the false religious system that is at the heart of the Babylonian system. A false religious system. This false religious system, there is one key more than any other key to this false religious system. It is an anti-Christ spirit. Now, go back with me. In ancient Babylon, you had this system established and an anti-Christ system established at the Tower of Babel. And God put His judgment on that system because men imagined that they would be able to do anything they wanted to do. They would create complete world peace. We don't need you, God. We can establish our own way. We can establish peace. We can establish all prosperity. We can establish everything we need. We don't need you, God. And so, right from the very beginning, first with Nimrod, who, by the way, all of these ancient gods, rulers who were worshipped in the false system, supposedly died and came to life. Just as Jesus would die and come to life. The difference? Jesus was the only one who was the divine Son of God and a human being. All of these others were human beings claiming to be gods. And God put His judgment on this. And He scattered the people all over the world. He scattered the languages. There was one language until He scattered all the languages. And I believe, I cannot prove this from the Scripture, but I believe this is also the time of the origin of races. Because Adam and Eve were all black, white, yellow, whatever race, were all from Adam and Eve. So why are there different colors? Why are there different races? It is God's judgment that men thought they would be their own God and they would establish a way of salvation. And everything that they come against is against who the stars reveal and then the Word of God reveals who Jesus is. Now, let's begin. And then I should tell you that this system was in the Babylon. That's the first great world empire. That it was in ancient Egypt, Osiris and Isis and all of that mythology. By the way, the gods that were worshipped in those ancient countries, in those ancient world empires, and Egypt lasted as a world empire for centuries and centuries, I mean longer than any other empire. But every one, the Scripture says, every one of those gods, small g, that was worshipped was created by men. And the Scripture says when you worship something created by man, idols, you worship demons. Amen. Demons, fallen angels, are behind, two-thirds of the angels fell with Satan. Demons, fallen angels, are behind every religious system. Remember, Christianity is not a religious system. This is a religious system. The religious system that dominates and, unfortunately, has penetrated deep inside the organized church and will take over much and most of the organized church because most of the organized church will become apostate, falling away from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, falling away from the Word, falling away from the truth of the revelation that God has given. And so then you have Egypt as a second great world empire. Then you have Assyria as the third great world empire. Then you have Medo-Persia as the next great world empire. Then you have Greece as the fifth great world empire. And Revelation says five that were, and that revelation came when the Roman Empire was in power. So five that were, one that is, the Roman Empire, and all of these empires tried to destroy the Christian faith. I mean, in the Roman Empire, they tried to kill all of the Christians. Their effort was not just to persecute, it was to kill all of the Christians, just like radical Islam wants to kill Christians today. And this is led by Satan too. Because Allah is a created God. Islam is a religion. It is not the true faith. There is only one true faith. There is only one God the Father, one Jesus the Son, and one Holy Spirit, all persons, and you and I, and every person in the world, every race in the world, were made to be one with Him. Amen. This is not a national matter. This is not a racial matter. This is not an ethnic matter. It is a matter of whoever will come to Him. There will be a personal relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and they will be born again, and there will be a life. It will be the life of Christ. And you see what God is doing, and I am really excited about what God is doing, because moving all around the world, He's breaking down the racial barriers, the ethnic barriers, the national barriers, the cultural barriers, and we see them disappearing if people are moving in the power of the Spirit, where the life of God, the life of the Father, the life of the Son, and the life of the Spirit are flowing. And then, finally, the one final empire is the Antichrist Empire itself, which will also be another world empire. You see, we haven't had a world empire since Rome. That's a long time ago. There have been people like Hitler. There have been people like Stalin. There have been people like Genghis Khan. There have been other people who have tried to create a world empire. God has not allowed it. God will allow the Antichrist to establish a world empire. Every nation, it says in Revelation, will come into that system. Now, that's your background. That's your background. So the Babylonian system, its key is a false religious system. And the false religious system is the spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist is the most important religious spirits. Now later in my teaching, I would be talking to you about other religious spirits. There are a lot of religious spirits. There are a lot of religious spirits in Wilmore. A lot of religious spirits. And wherever there's a seminary and a college, a Christian college, wherever there is Christian activity, there are a lot of religious spirits in churches and in church denominations. Now, religious spirits, and I'll tell you more about it later, but religious spirits, the lead religious spirit of all religious spirits is the spirit of Antichrist. Because religion wants to distort who Jesus is. As the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only light, the only Savior, the only Creator, the only one who holds the world together, the only High Priest, the only Mediator, only one. It's an offense to people who do not know Jesus and have not entered into Christ. It's an offense. So, I want to look with you at the first aspect. I've tried to give you a background to this. The first aspect is this. Jesus is the Creator. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. This is the revelation of the Ten Commandments. Now, we have spoken this. Let me remind you of this, what I've told you before. The Ten Commandments were given on the 50th day after they came through the Red Sea. This was the first Pentecost, penta meaning 50th. The first great revelation of God after the creation. The first great revelation of God on the earth and after the flood. That was kind of a great revelation too. But the first great revelation of His Word, not just in the stars, but now spoken, in fact shouted to the people at the foot of Mount Sinai. And it says in verse 1, Exodus chapter 20, then Elohim, Elohim is the word here in Hebrew. It's the word, it's plural. It means God the Father, who is covenanted with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then Elohim, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, spoke all these words, and really, He shouted these words. In fact, the people were so frightened that we won't read it later in the chapter. They fell down and said, don't let God speak to us anymore. Moses, don't let God speak to us anymore. Let Him speak to you, and you speak to us. because they were awestruck. They were awestruck. And by the way, as I have told you before, this is the first time God revealed himself as Yahweh. He hadn't revealed himself as Yahweh to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the first time that he revealed himself as Yahweh, the great I am, that I am, that I am. He has no beginning, he has no end. Awesome in holiness. Awesome in righteousness. Awesome in power. And he spoke. He shouted these words. I am Yahweh. The Hebrews wouldn't pronounce that holy name. Your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. He delivered them out of bondage. Their sin brought them into that bondage. And sin will always lead you into bondage. And when you believe the lies of the enemy, lies will always lead you into bondage. The truth of Jesus will always set you free. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, what does Babylon worship? They worship the created world. Not creator. The only creator is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all true worship is only of Yahweh, our Elohim. Yahweh the great I am, the Holy Father. And Jesus, his only Son. The only way to know the Father. And the Holy Spirit, who brings Jesus to us. In fact, brings Jesus in us. So that when we're born again, Jesus comes in us as a Holy Spirit comes in us. His life comes in us. I mean, we have a personal relationship. We have a life. We don't have a religion. We have a life. We have a life. We are new creations. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God hates all of the religions of the world because they keep people from coming into a personal relationship through Jesus with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And when people worship Nimrod in ancient Babylon, and when they worshiped Osiris and Isis, they were usually Mr. and Mrs. gods in the ancient world. And when they worshiped, and by the way, they had mythology like this in every one. The amazing thing to me is that every one of these empires that had this system had the same kind of system. They had different names for the gods, but they had the same kind of system. It's an antichrist system. It's specifically against who Jesus is. The stars announced that Jesus is the King and the Savior, and they claimed the stars were to be worshipped. And as I said before, when they were worshipping the stars, and every name for a god in ancient Babylon, ancient Egypt, every name for a god was a name for a star. Did you know that? Every name for a god was a name for a star. And this is why astrology dominated in all those empires. It will dominate again. Supposedly the stars control. The created world controls. This is worshiping the material world. This is worshiping things in the material world. Money, mammon. Anything created. Have you got any idols in your life? I'm going to read the next verse in a moment here. Have you got any idols in your life? Have you given yourself over to anything that's part of this created world? I mean, you may not have a statue of an idol, but if you give yourself over to something fully and wholly, I mean, it can be in sports. I mean, it can be... It can be in any area of life. We are not to give ourselves, our lives over and dedicate ourselves to anything other than God. Because listen to what he says. Not only should you have no other gods, and that's worshiping the created world. Every god, small g, is created. Even Lucifer himself. And by the way, when you worship other gods, they are demons. And ultimately, you're worshiping Satan, even though you don't know it. You don't know it, but you're actually worshiping Satan because he is behind all of those demons and he is behind the deceiving of people in all of those religious systems. And to worship Satan is to worship someone that God created as Lucifer, Lightbringer, until he fell. And then he becomes Satan, adversary of God. That's what Satan means, adversary of God, in rebellion against God. And the reason God doesn't want you to worship these, whoever you worship, you are with that and you are one. And you see, Lucifer worshiped God, the Father, until he fell and rebelled. And Adam and Eve worshiped God the Father until they rebelled. I'm going to read about their rebellion in just a moment. Until they rebelled, they were one with God. But then as they rebelled, they were separated from God. And so all men and women, every person after Adam and Eve is born separated from God, worshiping the world, worshiping the created world. Only when we come into Jesus to have a personal relationship with Jesus can we possibly worship God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit, because until we have the person of Jesus come through the Holy Spirit, we cannot worship the one who is the invisible one, not the created world, but the Creator. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself any idol or any likeness of what is in heaven. Don't make anything that is likeness in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, if one of the reasons people are in bondage is generational bondage. And generational bondage, when people are separated from God, and they are attached to the created world, and they have idols and gods that they worship, and they have false religious systems they worship, they are really worshiping Satan. And if that is not repented of in your life, if that is not repented of, God will forgive that. But you've got to cover that with the blood. And as you cover that with blood and break that in your own life, then you can come into not only the place where you can receive Jesus as Savior, but He can set you free from every bondage that you have inherited through the generation. Now, we'll talk more about that later, about the kinds of bondages that you can inherit from the generations. But every single person in this room, every single person in the world has inherited some kind of bondage, because there's a lot of sin in your generations. Got a lot of generations back there. And there's a lot of sin. And if that sin isn't under the blood and forgiven, and you believe Jesus, who did die for that too, and you receive that and break that, and then you repent of it, you are not free of it. And the tragedy is that people who get born again often don't know that they can be set free from bondages that have been in generations. I mean, there may be diseases that are inherited through the generation. And all of these things can be broken through the power of God. Now turn with me to Genesis, because I want to tell you a little bit more about Jesus as the Creator. So Babylon worships the created world. All religions are created. Satan is the ultimate one that is worshipped here. It's an anti-Christ system. Who is Christ really? Who is Christ really? Is He Creator? Listen. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the first surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving on the surface of the waters. So everything, all of the planets, all of the stars, all of the universe, and we can't even imagine all of the galaxies and all of the stars. They're far beyond what we can even imagine. Jesus, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is Creator. And He is Creator in verse 26 and 27. Then Elohim, all right, there it is again. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus is the Creator. He is, this is why He deserves worship, because He is the Creator. Said, let us make man in our image, plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I mean, God created us in his image. And the only reason we can have a personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, an animal can't, a plant can't. We are not evolved. I'll cover that later in one of the other false teachings of Babylon. We are not evolved from lower forms of life. We are specially created. And we are the only part of the creation made in the imago Dei, made in the image of God. The very essence of the Spirit of God is in us. That's why we have a spirit. You know, you have a spirit. You don't just have a soul or a mind. You have a spirit. And God put his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit touched the dust of the ground. And God made man become a living soul with a mind and a personality. But with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, making our spirit. And because we are of the same essence, made of the same essence, we can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. I mean, we don't realize, as Christians, that the marvelous privilege that we have, that the one who has always existed, there's no beginning and no end, who is eternal. And we can be brought into that eternity. Of course, when he created Adam and Eve, he intended them to live eternally. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I try to use the Old and the New Testament to show you what the Scripture says, really, and is trying to teach. And there's so much in the Scripture that we miss. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Listen. This is speaking of the incomparable Christ, who is the Creator and is the only one with the Father and the Son that deserves worship. And we should never worship the created world. This is Satan's plan to separate us. And by the way, it brings death. It brings death. Verse 13, this is about Jesus. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness. Do you know there is an outer darkness? If you study the signs of the 12 signs of the zodiac and the actual constellations, there is a place out beyond where there is nothing but darkness. There is an outer darkness. Outside the constellations where the stars shine, there is an outer darkness. That's the domain of Satan. Transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the essence of the God, of the invisible God, the firstborn of all the creation. The firstborn of all the creation. For by him, all things were created. By Jesus, all things were created. You see, you don't worship anything created because Jesus is the Creator. And he created all. The visible and the invisible. You can't see him. But the invisible is more real than what you can see. The created world is not the greatest reality. The creation is not the greatest reality. It is what you cannot see. Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you cannot see. The angels, you cannot see. Unless they happen to reveal themselves, which they sometimes do. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. In other words, There are rulers, there are principalities, there are authorities, there are delegated authorities in the realm. I mean, there are cherubim, there are seraphim, there are all kinds of angelic forces and authorities that God has created. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. People want to know about splitting the atom. I mean, it's Jesus that holds the nuclear structure. It's Jesus that holds things together. It's Jesus that keeps the world from splitting apart. I mean, we don't realize who he is. He deserves our worship and our praise. And the enemy is trying to destroy our idea of who he really is. He is the head of the body. That means he's the head and we're the body. Praise God. The church, the ecclesia, not a building, it's not a denomination, it's a living relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And Jesus is our head, and we are a part of His body. We are His body. That's the ecclesia. And where the power of God is flowing through the ecclesia, where other people are getting saved, where other people are getting healed and delivered, where we are doing the work that the apostles did when they were on the earth. This is what's coming. He's going to restore it on the earth. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of God to dwell in the person of Jesus. All the fullness of the Father. How could it be? All the fullness of the Father would dwell in Jesus, and through Him, therefore, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace. The Prince of Peace. Peace means back one, made one, made one again. One with God. One with who we have been created to be in our spirit man. And one with others, a unity and a harmony, breaking down every barrier. Satan's behind every barrier. He's behind every separation. And He's breaking down all those barriers through the blood of the cross. Hallelujah. The passion showed, that movie, passion showed, the sacrifice, the blood. No wonder hell was so frustrated by the blood that was shed. And not only frustrated, hell was defeated. Because when Jesus came off the cross, He was delivered into hell and temporarily separated from His Father. That's why He sweated for great drops of blood. Not fearing physical death, but He knew He would have to be separated temporarily from His Father. Well, the things on the earth or in heaven. Praise God. He is the Creator. The Antichrist spirit says, worship the created world. Don't. It will lead you to death. It will lead you to destruction. It will lead you to the false. It will lead you to bondage here, and eternal bondage forever, separated from God. You'll only have bondage here. You will have bondage eternally in heaven. In hell. Excuse me. Now, the next. Jesus Christ is the substance. I just read this from Colossians. And I'm going to read another passage about this here in a moment. But Jesus is the substance of this creation. Every material object has substance. Now, this cup doesn't have too much substance, but I mean, it has some. You can feel it. But everything in the material world has substance. This has more substance to it. And that behind the substance, the thing that holds things together, is Jesus the Christ. And He, our faith is also based on Jesus as that substance, because Jesus is one with the Word, and this Word has substance. Did you know that words have substance? Now, they don't have substance the way this does, but the substance that is behind everything in the created world is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But Jesus especially, sent by the Father onto the earth, had a special role in holding, as the invisible force, holding the substance of the world together. Now, what does the Antichrist spirit say? What does Babylon teach? Babylon teaches that the material world and what is seen is the only substance. They teach that nothing invisible can have substance. That only what you can see and sense and feel has substance. Now, therefore, they can't figure out where the world came from. So, what do they posit? Well, there was some mass out here. They never tell you where that mass came from. Or some pond of water where some simple cell began to divide, that began to evolve. But they can never tell you where that came from. But you see, they because they don't believe there is anything, how could there be? See, with their minds, see, with your rational mind, you can't figure out anything that has substance that you can't see. Now, there are all kinds of things right here in this room we can't see that we have, that have substance.
Faith is a substance.
Yeah. I mean, and we're going to come to that too. In fact, faith in the Word, taking the Word, is a greater substance than actual material things. But here's where they take this. Okay, so the Antichrist spirit, the Babylonian system, and see, the world is already over on, or the world has already accepted this. This part, they've accepted this almost hook, line, and sinker, especially in the Western world, in the educated world. Because they believe, therefore, well, it's a material world that has evolved, and they believe in macroevolution. Micro means within a system of life, but macro means that you have evolution from these simple forms of life right up to, and you have to start with substance to have a more complex substance.
Yeah.
And it's all something you can see. And there's a human being, finally. And supposedly that's the highest of the evolving substances. Of course, what they don't know is that the spirit within us is the real substance of who we are. See? Comes from the Holy Spirit. This flesh, see, my flesh is probably older than anyone's flesh here. And so it's quite a long way towards physical deterioration. But they teach, therefore, that everything is evolving and changing. What Babylon teaches, that the key in the world is everything is constantly changing, that it is progressing, evolving to a higher form of life. By the way, that goes against the laws of thermodynamics. The law of entropy, for example, the second law of thermodynamics, says everything is breaking down in structure.
Yeah, amen.
Which is science.
Yeah.
That's science. What they believe is not science.
No.
It's faith. But it's faith in something false.
Right.
Because of what they assume. They assume there is no substance that is invisible. So, all right, so you get this evolution then, and you get these more complex things that you can see. Well, therefore, they believe. Now, logically, then, it comes, and after Darwin wrote in 1858, then they began to teach, and that's what has taken hold of our schools. Well, then, all law is changing and evolving. All truth is changing and evolving. Lie, 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 lie. There is only one source of law, because law means something fixed. There's only one that can fix law. Men can't fix law. God the Father shouted. We read it. And when he shouted the Ten Commandments, the finger of God, the Holy Spirit, wrote it on the tablets of stone. Just to give a little exclamation. Just to give a little exclamation to the Father as he shouts it to the people. And people can rebel against that law and say that there is no law that is fixed and absolute, but they will be judged by it. They will answer to it. You know what? You know, a lot of people wonder, what's going to happen when I get up before the Lord? You are going to hear the Word. You're going to hear the Word. If you've never read it, you're going to hear the Word of God. And you are going to hear some of the words you have spoken. The Bible says we're perfect in word, we're perfect. You're going to hear some of the words you've spoken. And the more words you've spoken that line up with this word, the better off you're going to be. And the more words you've spoken that don't line up with this word, the worse off you're going to be. See? And so the world now, and America is here. I mean, the educated world, with a few exceptions, the courts, There are only a couple of people on the Supreme Court who believe that law is not an evolutionary product. Clarence Thomas still believes in fundamental law, eternal law. Scalia still believes in fundamental law. Rehnquist in part, but none of the rest. And hardly any judges are left. There are a few. There is a fixed law. See, our founders knew there was a fixed law of God, and they better write their constitution and their law in agreement with that law, because they said nothing what we write as men is law at all in the eyes of God if it isn't consistent with what God has said. And we think we can thumb our nose at God. This is a spirit of Antichrist that causes this. I'm telling you, this is a spirit of Antichrist. Anti-who Jesus, if they know who Jesus was, they know Jesus is the substance. Let me give you an example in the Old Testament of a prophecy in Daniel of when the Antichrist comes, when the Antichrist finally comes on the earth. And it indicates this will happen, and it's happening. I mean, listen, the Antichrist could be revealed very soon. The Antichrist, it's not going to be very long until the Antichrist is revealed. I don't know in years. But the systems are in place. Listen to Daniel 7:25. This is speaking of the end. This is speaking of the Antichrist. And he will speak out against the Most High. That's the Hebrew name Elyon. The Most High God. And wear down the saints. Wear down the saints. Listen, he's trying to wear you down. Some people tonight, we're going to pray for some people tonight, because a number of people came and said, I've been under attack. I've been under attack. I've been under attack. I've been under attack. He's trying to wear you out. He's trying to wear you down. He's trying to make you sick. He's trying to wear your body out. Young, old. He's trying to wear your mind out. He's trying to wear your spirit out. He's trying to wear your prayer light out. He's trying to wear you down. Wear you down. Wear you down. So you won't turn to Christ, who is the substance, and what he has provided for you is more real than what is happening to you in your circumstances. Hallelujah. You've got to get that. You've got to get that. If Jesus has to put this into your spirit, your pains, your circumstances, your problems, these are not the keys. The key is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the things that you do not see, the basic substance, and your own spirit, the basic substance. The Bible says that if the spirit of a man is not broken, he can bear any illness. In Proverbs, the spirit of man is not broken, he can bear any illness. And God is, you have to go through some things in order to come to this. But I praise God. Praise God when you go through, when you get through, when you come through. I wish I were through it all, but when we get to see him, we'll be through it all. But listen, he'll wear down the saints of the highest one, and he will intend to make alterations in the times and in the laws. And we have had in America, no modern nation has ever been dedicated under a system of law so totally biblical. And in America, Europe's gone. Europe is gone. They're sold out totally to the Antichrist system. They're gone, people. A lot of places in the world are gone. America is holding out, and I pray that we will hold out longer. But the laws, I mean, the courts have declared in a sodomy case in Texas versus Lawrence last year, that sodomy between two men is protected in the Constitution when they do it privately. This is a mocking of God and His law. It's a thumbing the nose in God. I mean, and He will not have it.
Challenging Him.
He will not have it. And they will be given into His hand for a time and half a time. For a short period of time, Satan and these people who are the Antichrist system will, for a short period of time. Some people think 3.5 years. It may be that. I'm not sure it's exactly that. I'm not too dedicated to exact interpretations here in years, but anyway, there'll be a short period of time. It'll be short, but it'll appear. God told me this afternoon, tell the people, don't be worried, don't fear, because it's going to look like this system is totally in control all over the world. But it is not. It will never be. There is a substance, Jesus, who is the King, who is going to reveal himself. Now, I'll have to close on this one. I thought I'd get more than two in, but we'll have to close on this one. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we will see here that Jesus is that invisible substance that holds the world together. And what, who he is in his person, and this word which is one with him. This word is one with him. Christ is the word become flesh. So when you read the word and you let it become alive in your heart, it's like Jesus alive in your heart. It's the same. When you get the word of God in your heart by the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus in your heart. It really is. It really is, people. I mean, what has been spoken is spoken by the Father to the Son, and the Son speaks it to us. That's what he prays in the high priestly prayer. Father, I thank you that you've given me my words. I give those words to my people so that they can realize that what is spoken and you cannot see is true and will conquer every circumstance, everything in this created world. I mean, when you've got the Word of God made alive, a rhema word made alive by the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, it will come to pass. Nothing. But Satan, not anything, can stop it. He'll do everything he can do. You will have a battle on your hands to appropriate what God has spoken, because Satan doesn't want you to realize. This Antichrist spirit hates Jesus. They hate Jesus. Satan hates Jesus. And people have come to hate Jesus. They come to hate his word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. See, he spoke in the stars, the gospel in the stars. He spoke to all the civilizations. See, all the civilizations look to the stars. They just perverted it later into astrology. And Satan got a hold of it. See, Satan gets a hold of the Bible. Satan gets a hold of everything. He tries to distort everything that God gives as revelation. So he distorted first the gospel and the stars, then he distorts the scripture. He quotes the scripture. He quoted the scripture to Jesus. Yeah, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Yeah, he quoted Psalm 91. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. The angel will keep you. But see, he was testing God. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed. Now listen who Jesus is. He appointed heir of all things. I mean, the Father owns everything in the universe. I mean, you talk about wealth. He owns everything in the universe, and he has appointed Jesus the heir of all things. Hallelujah. Man, we are a part of his body. We are joint heirs. Hallelujah. You can't get happy about that. I don't know what you could get happy about. We get happy about ball games, but we ought to be able to get happy about some of these things. Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He made the world with Jesus. Through him he made. And he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory. He is the glory. Father, he said, Father, in the high priestly prayer, Father, I thank you that the glory that you have in heaven, you have given to me, and I have given to them. He's given his glory to us when his person comes in us and when we believe the word. He, Jesus, is the radiance. I mean, the in Revelation, the picture of Jesus, Jesus that is high and lifted up, the Jesus that is eternal. I mean, his face is like the bright shining sun. You ever try to look in the sun? I used to run out in the countryside, and I when I would run, I would look up at the sun and I would think of Jesus. And I would think, I can't look. Oh, the radiance of Jesus himself. And the exact representation of his nature. This word nature is substance, hypostasis, something that stands under. You know that what stands under the Word of God? It is Jesus, the living Word. That's what Peter walked on. Come out here, Peter. Here comes Peter. Until he began to look around, and the wind was blowing, and there was a storm coming up, and he got frightened. He lost the Word. He lost the Word. The Word is substance. Faith is the substance, same word. Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance. When you walk in faith, you stand on that same substance. You can't see Jesus, but He is there. He is there. And by the way, He prays for you. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to shift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That your faith may not fail. Man, that helped me. When I was about the end of my strength, many years ago, with cancer, and Jesus said, Bob, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. I mean, you can be at death's door. But if you will allow the Word of God to stand on the Word of God, you will not be taken out of this earth until Jesus says, come up here. You won't. Praise God. His nature, His substance. I mean, Jesus is the exact representation of the very substance of the Father. And He upholds all things. He sustains. He gives. He causes to come forward. By what? By the Word of His power. By as He speaks the Word. He is the living Word. As He speaks the Word of the Father that is in Him, then the power of the Father through the Son is released through me and through you. And that power is what gets you saved. And that power is what gets you healed. And that power is what gets you delivered. Praise God. When He had made purification for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank you, Jesus. You're right up there at the right hand. I know you're looking. Hallelujah. Having become so much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. I close in 1 Corinthians 15 tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. A wonderful chapter. That Paul wrote. Verse 38. But God gives it a body just as He wished, to each of the seed the body of its own. See, this shows that everything is not evolved from lower form of life. Jesus is Creator, and He is the substance. And the substance of who you are is because God has created you in His image. Animals are not created in His image. Plants are not created in His image. They're created to serve us. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are heavenly bodies, there are earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly one is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is the glory of the sun, there is the glory of the moon. The sun and the moon are not the same. None of the stars are the same. Man, we don't understand the glory of the creation. I don't. Another glory for the stars? For star differs from star. Every star differs from star. So also is the resurrection of the dead. And by the way, the Babylonian system always speaks of reincarnation. Satan said, you won't die.
Yeah.
But see, all those ancient civilizations that had this Babylonian system believed in reincarnation. But those reincarnated gods, Osiris in Egypt, was the god of death and the god of life. But no, Jesus, death is an enemy to Jesus. He's defeated it. He's only the god of life. Any god, small g, that's a god of death and a god of life is a false god. So is also the resurrection. See, resurrection is a new but it's a new. It's not reincarnated into another form of human life or animal life. It's a resurrection life. It's a new body led by the Spirit of God. It's sown by an imperishable body. It's raised an imperishable body. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. So also it is written that the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit. Verse 20. Back up. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, Adam, by a man, Christ, came resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so as in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits after those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to God and Father. And when he has abolished every rule and every other authority, every demonic authority, all of Satan's authority is totally abolished. And he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Hallelujah!
Glory.
Praise
Glory
God! Death is defeated. Jesus is Creator. Jesus is the substance who holds the world together. The Babylonian Antichrist system tries to teach that it's the created world that is the key. That is the material substance that is the only thing that has meaning. That everything is evolving and changing. No, everything that is real never changes. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever. The Father, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what is the most real is what endures. And His Word endures forever. And when it's in you, you endure in that. And the power of God eternally is released so that you can receive and other people can receive life. Hallelujah.